Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Do you know God in this way? He knows an awful lot about us. David in this psalm, as he expresses his awesome wonder of the greatness of God. And you can almost sense in David's heart that he just, why am I limited in this earthen vessel? I want to expand that and know Him more. I can't attain unto it, he says. I don't have the capacity, but it never stopped David from searching, did it? But I want to notice what this knowing God, and that word that we have in John 17, is it not an ongoing knowing that will never end? It's God. It's not grade 12 and then it ends. It's not 6 years of university and then it ends. It's God. That we may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the ongoing growing and knowing of Him. And David understood something of that. Its capacity he didn't have to grasp it all, but I want to focus this afternoon for but a few minutes on what this produced in David's heart. Verse 23. I know it produces worship, and thank God for that. We have that in verse 14 of this psalm, for the whole psalm. But I want to notice what we have in verse 23. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." David wasn't giving permission to God to do this. He wasn't saying, "Okay, now search me." No. David was coming to the recognition that God had searched him. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Repentance. I wasn't here last night. I'm sorry I missed the meeting. We were at the Spanish meeting. We preach repentance to unbelievers. We need to preach it to believers and talk to ourselves about it. Search me, O God. I'm not going to stand in front of you today as one who has arrived. I understand, David Rehide, how you feel. It's uncomfortable being here. I want to present to you just one word. Transparency. Transparency. This curtain is not transparent. You can't see what's behind. I could put lots of things back there. My brother told me not to go back there because I might break a musical instrument. I cannot see that. I took his word for that. This is as far as I'm going to go. It's not transparent. I can't see back there. I can hide things back there. He can tell me there's musical instruments back there that shouldn't be broken, and I'm going to believe him, but I don't know what's there. It's not transparent. Are you transparent? Are you transparent? Oh, I'm not speaking physically. Am I transparent? You see, the answer to that question is not what you think. It's coming to an understanding of what God thinks. You may not think you're transparent. God says you're transparent. And the sooner that you and I come to the understanding that God knows my heart. You know what's interesting we have in Psalm 19 and verse 14? It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to thy ears." No, acceptable in thy sight. Why? Because the eyes of God, they penetrate the veneer. Your formal Christianity, your beautiful suit, and your expensive hat, and all that you heap on, and the Christian veneer that maybe some of us are living, the eye of God penetrates that. What does the psalmist say? He sees it. I believe that one of the reasons why I suffer spiritual poverty is because I am not willing to accept transparency. It's what governments talk about. We just elected a new president in Panama. And this man, he seems to be a relatively good man, and he's trying to help the country. But he, part of his election promise, and he seems to be fulfilling it, is he said, "I am going to make this government transparent." Listening to your new president, I understand that he announced the same thing. I know he won a Nobel Peace Prize. I'm not sure how he's doing on the transparency. But we have people who promise these things. And they say, "We'll open the books and we'll open the doors and all will be known." Do you believe it? We're not bringing politics into this thing. We're talking today about you and God and me and God. I want to read a verse to you in Romans chapter 1. I just want to give you some things today to think about. To, if I can, along with Dan's message, just try to make you think. And maybe this will start a process that can maybe change the direction in our lives. I cannot hide a thing from God. Are you hiding something? I have been interested in the life of the Apostle Paul. We're only going to read one of these expressions, but he says it several times. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. God is my witness." Have you thought about that? The Apostle Paul, at least 9 to 10 times, he uses this phrase, maybe not exactly like this, but he talks about his conscience in the light of the work of the Holy Spirit. He talks about living his life in the presence of the Lord Jesus, he talks about God as his witness. Now, please don't think for a minute that I'm going to give anyone license here today to say, very good, I don't have to listen to anybody. God is my witness. I'll do what I want. Let me say this. If you ever arrive at the point where you can fully grasp the understanding that God is my witness, you will have no trouble. You will have no trouble working with your fellow believers. You will have no trouble with humility. You will have no trouble with submission. When you understand the depth of this truth, it's so simple. God is my witness. Have you thought about that? The Apostle Paul, as we go down, and we don't have time today, but we can go down through the Scriptures and the references that are made to this. And the Apostle Paul says, in my prayers, God is my witness. He says in Romans chapter 9, in relation to the burden of souls and the house of Israel, he says, God is my witness. He talks about there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, as he talks about it, his motive for showing grace and mercy, and he expresses the idea that God is his witness. He's not doing this for the elders of the assembly. He's not doing this to satisfy his fellow preaching brethren. He's not doing this to satisfy the eye of his wife. He's doing it because God is his witness. That changes the whole thing. That brings me into the limitations of holiness. That brings me into the realm and the area of the perfect grace of God. When God is my witness, I cannot do what I want. Because he's not only witness, he's judge. In the country that we live and labor in, Panama, transparency is a word that is not used very often. We had a Spanish teacher, and she told us that what they are taught as children from their families or their parents or whoever might take the time to teach them, when you go out in public, you dress like a rich person so that people don't know you're poor. Don't let them know. We were looking for homes. And we would come up a street and we would see a beautiful home. Beautiful wooden door on the front with beveled glass. Beautiful painting. And some of them had nice little yard out front. And when you opened that door and went in that house, it was dreadful. Little tin roof. One little light bulb swinging in the middle of the room. No glass in the windows. The hole, the curtain over it. But from the outside, oh, it was wonderful. Dear believer today, and I'm going to speak to my peers and those who are younger and those who are older. Do you understand? Do I understand that I am transparent, that God sees my heart? Maybe there's something that you're involved in the office, and your wife doesn't know. And maybe there's something you're involved in on the internet, and your parents don't know. And maybe there's something you're involved in business and your partner doesn't know. And maybe you're involved in something in your life and nobody knows. But God knows. And we are told that every one of us are going to give an account. You know what? That verse scares me. I don't like to read that verse. That verse scares me. Because in that day, in the judgment seat of Christ, transparency on the big screen, everything. Oh, not just my actions. It says the hidden things of the heart, the motives, the things that I can't see in you, and that sometimes we have difficulty seeing in ourselves. It will all be made known. That scares me. But it also does something else. It makes me understand. That I need to change things in my life. I need to repent. As I grow in my understanding who God is, He's going to reveal to me really who I am. And He wants to change me. He wants to display the character of His Son in me. I struggle with that. Why? Because I know my heart. I know what's in here, and I think, God, that's an impossible task. How can it ever be? I need to spend time alone with Him. Because the more I get to know Him, the more I'm going to understand I can't hide anything from Him. I am transparent. Oh God, search me. Paul says, God is my witness. Paul says when it comes to forgiving others, he says, God is my witness. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, speaking the word in truth, he says, God is my witness over and over in every aspect of the life of the Apostle Paul, whether it's service, his labors, his motives, working with others, preaching the gospel, praying, living. He says, God is my witness. He arrived at the point of the understanding, I am transparent. He sees all. He knows all. Eliab stood before Samuel that day when he was in the house of Jesse choosing a new king. Anointing the king that God had chosen for Israel. And Eliab stepped in front of Samuel and said, well, this is the man, look at him. You know, he's the man. The Lord said, Samuel, we made that mistake with Saul, remember? Man looks on the outward appearance. I look on the heart. You remember Peter. The Lord says, Peter, lovest thou me? Careful with the words. Lord, thou knowest anything. But the Lord asks it the second time. What the Lord was asking is not what Peter answered. The Lord said, Peter, do you love me with that divine love? That Peter says, Lord, you know I'm fond of you. Third time, the Lord says to Peter, Peter, are you fond of me? I don't know whether Peter hung his head or not, but did he say, with his head bowed low, Lord, thou knowest all things. My heart is totally transparent. I can't hide anything from you. Thou knowest all things. You know, I'm fond of you. Couldn't say it. That idea of thou knowest all things. Paul said, God is my witness. That's really all I have to share with you today. Be transparent. You aware that God sees everything. In that coming day, the judgment seat of Christ, we have that revealing fire in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm reminded of what that fire might be in Revelation chapter 1 as there's a description of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of those lampstands. And He's there reviewing their activity, their life, their experience. It says that He has eyes as a flame, fire. Those eyes that penetrate to the deep depths of our heart. Eyes, flame of fire. Let me tell you, in that day, that's not the refiner's fire. That's the revealer's fire. When all will be revealed, our lives. Are we hiding anything from God? You know, there's a little verse that we teach the children. I don't know why we don't listen to ourselves when we teach the children. Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. Thou God, seest me. It's not a matter of me calling God to be my witness, saying, okay, God, I want you to witness this in my life. But the other part, no. It's not a matter of me making the decision whether or not God is my witness. It's me arriving at the conclusion that God is my witness. And in light of that, may that affect our lives. Repentance. Revealing in our lives the character of the person of Christ. Transparency. God is my witness. We need to grasp that. We need to get a hold of that. Thou God, seest me.